Oh, yeah. Oh, you did it. You clicked on the Osway Bar podcast, a podcast dedicated to growth. We know we're not supposed to be stuck. We're designed to grow and be all that God has called us to be. We post every Monday and Wednesdays. Monday's a segment I call Monday Message. This is where your messages for me. Wednesday segment, that's one of my favorites. This is a segment called Wednesday's Word from the Wise. This is where I get to sit down with amazing guests and draw from their wisdom, experiences, and anointing, all for the purpose of growing. So if you're ready, I said if you're ready, growth fanatics, let's do it! Hello everyone, how's it going? Happy Wednesday. This is our segment we call Wednesday's Word from the Wise, one of just the segments I really enjoy doing. I get to sit down with amazing folks and really learn from them. Today I have another gem from you from the Heavy Revy Show days, and it's an interview I did with Erin Evans. But her name now is Erin Wisebro, married to her awesome husband, Greg Wisebro, which... Greg, if you're listening, shout out, bro. You're the man. Love you, sir. Does phenomenal things at Andrew Womack Ministries in the conferences. But Erin's phenomenal, and she has a powerful testimony and story about overcoming addiction. And so I think that this testimony, man, is just really going to bless you. And you may not be addictive to drugs or anything like that, but it may be addictive habits. And I believe this can help you push those addictions into a positive light. So I think this interview and this conversation is going to bless you. So go ahead and get ready to tune in. Go ahead and follow Erin Wisebro on Facebook. She's posting videos out there, and it's awesome. It's great content. So hope you guys give it a listen. I'll put that in the show notes below. But, man, let's check out this interview. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the Heavy Revy Show. Super pumped. Guys, we have a special guest for our segment, Wednesday's Word from the Wise. And her name is Erin Evans. She is awesome. She is has a powerful testimony of just being set free from addiction. And then, man, she's doing some great things here at Andrew Womack Ministries. And she's also, has an awesome little side hustle called Soul Fit, which is awesome. She flexes, super hard on. I'm just kidding, but no, she'll help you get your flex on, and it's awesome. But Erin, thank you again. And honestly, guys, this is our second time going at it. I messed up on me, so for my Film Forward Fridays, you'll probably hear about me like, yeah, guys, I totally muted my mic and it was terrible. So anyways, we're back. Erin, thank you again for round two.
Amen. Thanks for having me, Jose.
Yeah, absolutely. So with this, what we're going to be talking about, guys, is, again, Erin's testimony. I'm just going to allow her to share her testimony on what the Lord has done for her. And then also, we're going to hear how to be free from addiction. Now, not all addiction is bad. I like how Todd White talks about it. If you have an addictive personality, you just have to be addicted to the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's awesome. Praise God, because you can definitely tell Erin has an addictive personality, but now she's hooked on something else that's really good.
Amen.
And with that, we're just going to kind of talk and hear her story, and just hope you guys be encouraged, because it doesn't have to be intense, or it doesn't have to be anything, but if you're addicted to something that's, destroying yourself on something, something that you may view as small or little, there is a way out, and we're gonna see it. And so,
right,
Erin, if you can just tell everyone your story. What's up? Let's open your book.
Let's open it up. So basically, I was, had a great upbringing. I have wonderful parents, wonderful family. And I know for people who have hard testimonies, sometimes it's easy for us to look at a lot of the outside things, but for me, man, it was my fault for sure. Like when I was 15, a lot of things just went downhill in my life. I had a family death. My brother moved away to college. We were really close, and I broke up with my first boyfriend. And so all these situations happened that I didn't really know how to properly deal with. I was a believer. I accepted the Lord as my Savior, Jesus Christ, when I was 10 years old. But I never really received the truth of God's word in discipleship, and what that looks like for a personal relationship and intimacy. No one ever really told me, like, you can know God, you can walk beside God and be his friend and obey him. You know, you can know the word. And so that was foreign to me, but I really did have a heart for the Lord. But when all those things happened, I didn't turn to Jesus, and I turned to vices. I had never really drank or anything like that. But like, man, when I think I was 16, I smoked weed for the first time. And then that same week I was doing cocaine and heroin. And then from then on, it was just like this monster was released inside of me and everything just went downhill. It was like this, you know, roller coaster or tornado of havoc in my life. And it was just out of control. So like within a year I was going to treatment centers. It got that bad, that fast. My family found out, you know, and tried to help me. They were so supportive.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tried to do their best too, because when things like that happen, when you're addicted to something, any kind of behavior, it affects people around you, even if you don't realize it, you know? And so as a family, we really tried to figure out like how to overcome this. And I think, you know, I tried to go to college. I did 2 years in college after I graduated high school, and still this stuff was just a part of my life. And I ended up moving back home after 2 years of college and got like a full-time job. And I was like, maybe that's what I need. Maybe I just need to work this off, you know, and figure out my life. And then I remember I got like laid off for the summer. Like I loved work. Like I just got addicted to work. And I was like, yeah, I had a 9-month sober period. And then I got laid off of work and I was like so depressed. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, what am I going to do without work?
Yeah.
And that's when I like freaked out. I smoked weed again and then like talked to I was on probation at that time because I think I went to jail a couple times. I forget. And, yeah, in that season, it's kind of hard to keep track of everything, you know, now that I'm redeemed. But yeah, and my probation officer, I told him because I like had such a guilty conscience and he was like, you're going to get in trouble. And then I like attempted suicide that night and like went to the psych ward and I used to like burn myself. I had like burns and cuts and like these huge bandages on my arm being in the psych ward. And so then it was like, you know, I got to this period where nobody really wanted me to live with them anymore. And I totally understand, you know, I like would just steal from people. I would steal like emotionally and physically. And, yeah. And so I ended up in the women's mission for a while. I lived in my truck for a while and, got back from, let's see here. I think that, I don't remember. I think I had another sobriety period. And it was never more than like, you know, a couple months, 6 months, 9 months. And then I remember like my mom was going to move away and I got really like hopeless. And I was like, you know, where am I going to stay? Like, you know, mom's letting me live with her. Now what am I going to do? So I sold all my bedroom furniture and bought a one-way ticket to Greece because I was reading. I decided one time to just sit down and read all of the book of Daniel and all of the book of Revelation. Like that Revelation is my favorite book in the Bible. And I was that type of drug addict that would read my Bible. But so like, I was like, you know, John, he says in the book of Revelation, I bought or I found myself in Patmos, Greece due to Jesus' teachings. And so I was like, that's where I need to go. That's what will help me. And so I like sold everything, bought a one-way ticket, was like, I'm never coming back. I didn't even know that they spoke like a different language in Greece. It's so embarrassing. It was like, you know, oh, well.
I'm not going to say, you know, I definitely knew, you know, Greece, you know, I spoke my language.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, well, you know. I did. And, you know, I was like this country girl. So I like wore my cowboy boots and I had my jeans and my Bible. And it was like, you know, that's all I showed up with. I had no plan, no money. And praise God, like somebody let me stay with them while I was there. That just this stranger, long story, whatever. Anyways, like I ended up getting like a ticket back home through my tax return.
Yeah.
So I made it back and then I was back in the U.S. for a couple of days. And then my brother was like, hey, mom's moving to Florida. We're like saying goodbye to her. Do you want to come over and say bye? And I was like, yeah, of course. And so he picked me up and it was like I walked into a family intervention with what I think it was like 8 of my family members that were just sitting there like we love you and we're scared for you. And if you don't change something, like, we can't walk with, like, we have to separate ourselves, you know, from your life and the choices that you're making. And I was so hopeless at that time, Josue. Like, I was so numb and just cut off from feelings and emotions at that point that it, like, I didn't show emotion, but I saw that they had hope for me.
Yeah.
And that really touched me. And that, I think, like, gave me enough to, like, I could stand on their hope, you know?
Sure.
And so they were like, if you get help, you know, we're behind you 100%. But if not, you know, my family's so amazing. I love them. And so basically the interventionist that ran the intervention, he drove me to Nashville, Tennessee, which I stayed there for a treatment center for 30 days. Okay. And 2 weeks into the treatment center, it was like I like awoke out of this fog. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, look at my life. I'm 22 years old at that point, and maybe 21. And I was like, I've been a drug addict for 7 years, and like, I don't have anything to show for, you know, my life. And so I decided, like, so many people had said, they were like, you know, if you want to get sober and if you want to have, you know, a good life, like, just do what people tell you to do in here. And they recommended, you know, go to a halfway house, go to a meeting every day, get a sponsor and all this stuff. And so that's what I did. You know, I got out of the treatment center. I went to a halfway house for a year. I rode public transportation every day, you know, like all those things, but it was so good. Like, I just needed that, like, pride broken off of me in so many areas of my life. And, you know, and it's not to say that I'm perfect by any means, but like, I'm still working through so many things. You know, I think we all are. It's a journey that God shows us. We never stop learning. And I love that. So yeah, I ended up staying in Nashville. Then I lived in Nashville for 6 years and, just had 7 years sober, this February.
Awesome.
So that's
exciting.
That
yeah. Seriously.
I've now been sober longer than I was a drug addict. So
come on.
Praise God.
Yeah. Praise God. You're winning.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, that's so cool. I mean, well, you know, that's a lot in your, you know, testimony, what the Lord has done for you. So just, we're going to kind of, I'm going to backtrack a little bit, just ask a couple questions just so, you know, we can kind of just feel what you're feeling like. First off, you know, you said all this stuff came crashing down on you when you're 15. So 16?
Yeah, 16.
Okay, so when you were 16, all this stuff came crashing on you. And so when you went to drugs, was that just like your way of escape? Was that just more of like, you know what, I don't care anymore? You know, what kind of happened there? Just
yeah, I think that, Josue, it was like a mixture of I didn't know how to really deal with emotions in a healthy way. And I think that at a level of like immaturity, you know, I just didn't have that experience and that grounding and that just discipleship in my heart, you know, even of just that knowing my own self. And so I think that like I just reached for anything that I could that would make me feel better, you know, whether it was drugs or immoral relationships or self-mutilating or, you know, stealing or anything, you know, it was just,
And it's crazy because like, you know, it's the saying is true. Like sin will take, you know, keep you longer than you want to stay and it will, you know, I don't know. There's something else.
I know. It's such a good saying.
It is such a good saying. And I remember
it'll cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay and something else.
Something else. I don't really know because I remember I used to hear that all the time. I'm like, oh, you know, like whatever, dude. You know what I mean? Like you would just like, you know, to the side. And but it's so true. Like when it actually does hit you and does come, it's like, man, because I bet you like at 16 you didn't picture yourself, you know, being in the situations or the things that you face.
No. And the crazy thing is, Josue, nobody wants to be a full-time drug addict. You know, nobody wants to be a drug addict in their life. Nobody says, oh, I want to be homeless and live on the streets and kill people and, you know, hurt people for the rest of my life. That is not who we are in our inner nature. God created us in His image and we have His, you know, being inside of us, you know, and of course we all have a sin nature, but nobody says that, you know, and I think that it's just a lie and bondage from the enemy and anybody who's in any kind of bondage, you know, there's freedom for them.
Amen.
No matter what it is.
Come on, preach.
Amen.
Seriously, that's so good because, yeah, I don't think for myself, I grew up wanting to be dabbling with drugs, or grew up wanting to be, you know, hypocritical on some of the certain things, right. You know. For me, you know, I think my addiction was almost being two-faced, you know what I mean? Like, I'd show up to church, you know, because I'm a pastor's kid, so, you know,
right.
put your church face on, you know, sing the fast songs, get down with slow songs, and then, you know what I mean? Like, you put it on, and then when church is over, it's like, all right, I'm gonna live my own life, right. You know? And so when you start looking at that, and like you mentioned at one point where you kind of left the cloud and you realize looking back, like, man, you know, it's 22 years and I have nothing to show for myself,
right.
You know, all these, you know, years in church for myself. And there's like little things here or there, you mm-hmm. know, I was on fire for the Lord all the way to like junior high. It wasn't until junior high school that I was like, you know,
wow.
I'm just more influenced by my friends and just the people that are around me. And so, with that, you know, I just started being two-faced almost, you know what I mean? Well, I was two-faced, not almost. I was two-faced where at one point, you know, I'm praising God. Another point, you know, I just don't care, you
right.
know?
Right.
And so, man, you know, your testimony of just you kind of getting out of that funk is encouraging, you know? And then, you know, also too, guys, you know, if the addictive personality, it can be to anything. It doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be, you know, being a two-faced. It can be anything in life. And if it's destroying you, or if it's causing problems to you, you know, and Aaron, I'm glad you said this earlier, you know, because it's true. I have family, and I just know people back home who have been stuck in this lifestyle before, but the mentality of thinking like, well, I'm not hurting anyone.
Oh,
you know, that's a mentality that a lot of people carry. And, you know, even if you're not on drugs, but you're addicted to something that's unhealthy for yourself, you know, you're always hurting somebody. You're always affecting those around you.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know, you can tell yourself, no, I'm fine. Like, you know, I'm not bothering anyone. It's just for myself. It's not true.
Yeah.
Not
even true. Out in public, perfect strangers, we influence everybody that we touch. You know, a smile or a frown can go a long way to a perfect stranger, let alone your family. Mm. You know, your family can see through the masks that we wear. You know, and I had a grandma that prayed for me. My family prayed for me, you know, and it's like, I thank God for them.
Yeah.
You know, but we're all given grace.
Praise God.
Amen.
And so, man, you went to Greece. Wow. That's crazy.
It's so, literally crazy.
So, you know, even in that, I guess, you know, there's people change for a certain amount of reasons, right? You know, there's those who use wisdom, which I wish I could say I was in that category, but, you know, wasn't, where they can change where they hear knowledge. You know, knowledge is given, and you know what? I'm going to change. You know what I mean?
Learn from other people's mistakes.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, yeah, praise God. There's another cool saying, but I totally slipped on my mind. I'll think of it later. Oh, come back. I promise.
Amen.
All right. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you can definitely learn from other people's testimonies. You can definitely learn from other people's mistakes, you know, but there are those of us, you know, and I'm, you know, an Ibarra, you know, so us Ibarra are notorious for being hard-headed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just, you know, hard-headed Mexicans. What can I say? No, I'm just kidding. I love you, family.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Yeah, exactly. But we're hard-headed. We're, we got to, you know, learn for ourselves and, you know, have a, you know, being hit. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that too, guys. I do want to throw that out there. You know, obviously we want to get to the point where we can receive knowledge and say, you know what? I'm going to change. But if you're hard-headed like, you know, Aaron and I were, where, you know, for her, it took Greece. You took Greece and took, you know, being intervened with your family to just say, you know what? Okay, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I do need to change. Maybe there is something that needs to come that's a little different.
Amen.
You know, for me, it was, you know, my parents finding out that I threw a house party while they were gone. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my gosh. And seeing my mom cry right in front of me and asking, so did I do anything wrong? And honestly, they did nothing wrong. I was just being selfish. And so with that, us being, you know, hitting that wall, you know, sometimes that causes that change. Now, you know, praise God, you don't have to hit that wall, guys.
Right.
That doesn't have to be your story. That doesn't have to be, you know, your testimony. And another thing too, if you're young and you're, you know, kind of listening to this, you don't have to have the, I was once this, or I did this, or I used to do this, in order to have a testimony. You know, I look at Andrew Womack, you know, awesome speaker who, you know, didn't go through the same mess and stuff like that. But you know what? He has a powerful testimony of just his relationship with the Lord. And that's another thing I encourage too, because I remember just being a youth, you know, hearing all these 30, you know, 40 year olds come and share their testimony, you know, oh, you know, I was so lost and this and that. And then I got saved, you know, and then it gets you to think like, man, all right, I'm gonna live my life, you know, and then I'm 30, 40, I'll come back, you know, I'll come back and serve the Lord. I'm not gonna lie, those were my thoughts, you know, but it didn't take until just having that encounter and then obviously just being loved by the Lord through my dad to come back and just really serve the Lord full-heartedly. And so, Aaron, so you went to Greece, which I've never been to Greece. It's super cool. You got to tell
me. I'd like to go back when I can actually enjoy it.
I've been on plenty of trips before in my head, but not, you know, actually out in Greece. But you went to Greece, you came back, and then your family confronted you. So, you know, when they confronted you, did they confront you with love?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, right, man? And so I love that that they sought counsel. You know, they went out, they sought an interventionist because they had tried to do it so many times. You know, I was a master manipulator. They had tried to take me to so many treatment centers, and I manipulated even on the way, you know, my way, we would end up turning around or I'll get better this time, you know, but they just time after time after time met me with the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And they were always so willing to give me a second chance, a third chance, you know, again and again and again. And I think that that's such a beautiful picture of the heart of God towards us. You know, there's not an ultimate sin that God's not going to forgive us for.
Yeah.
You know, and it's his goodness that leads us to repentance, and there's grace. You know, his grace is sufficient for us to repent and turn around and change our ways. And man, I think he saw that I had a heart for him. You know, like I really wanted to know God so much. And I think he met me, you know, right where I was through my family. And he's like, man, if you're willing to work for it, you know, and do your part, I'll do mine. And that's what my family said, you know.
That's awesome. Amen. You know, because that goes to like one thing, you know, guys, when it comes to, you know, being free from just any addiction is first just knowing that God loves you.
Yeah.
You know, that's for me the very first thing, you know, when my parents found out about this house party, and I've done plenty of them, you know, and this was just so happened to be the one I got caught on. It's like, dang, you know, seriously. But yeah, I just remember, you know, being 18, I was a senior in high school, and it was really close to graduation, and thinking in the back of my head, because my dad took it in, you know, so many people. But, you know, same thing like you were saying, where it got to the point where, like, all right, change isn't happening, you know, so I'm just going to, you know, let you go, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was my road. I'm like, oh, man, like, this is it, you know. But my dad met with love, man. It was so cool. Like, not only did my dad preach grace from the pulpit, but he really practiced it on me and just loved on me. And I didn't expect that. And I think that's what, you know, kind of got my heart to open up. Like, man, if you know, my dad can love me like that, how much more could God? And, you know, there was my journey saying, you know what, I need to change, you know? So I left to come out here to Karis. And so, but for you too, you went through that season of change too. You changed your environment. You know, you went from, you know, having that intervention of love with your family to boom, now going to like a 30-day program, you said?
Yes.
30-day program. And again, taking the advice of other people and humbling yourself, you know, which humbling yourself is not easy.
It can be so hard.
But man, when you're humbled, you know, it's something that's good though. It is a good process to go through. It sucks at first, but it's a great process.
Yeah.
So, you know, first thing, guys, is just, you know, allow God to encounter you with his love. You know, be around those who are uplifting and loving, you know.
Amen.
Because, you know, I used to be around other people, too, who's like, dude, you're a pastor's kid. You should know better. And it's like, dude, like, that didn't encourage me. That didn't, you know, lift me up.
I have to learn, too.
Just because I live with a guy doesn't mean, you know, I got it all. You know what I mean? But, you know, some people would come off so judgmental. And it's like, if you have family members, even in addictive, you know, things, you know, don't beat them up.
Right.
Don't beat them up with the Bible. Don't beat them up with you should, you know. And yeah. Obviously they're going to give you an ear, but they're only going to give you an ear when you give them love.
Amen.
You know, so yeah. That's cool. So the love of God met you, and then you went to this program.
Yes.
And then it sounds like you started getting disciplined on some things, like mm-hmm. when you started creating your own disciplines, right?
Right.
So remind me of those again. You know, went to a meeting and yes. had like a mentor and
yes.
did some daily devotionals, right?
Yes.
Anything else?
Yeah. Well, that was like the main thing, you know, that AA recommended. You know, their daily devotional, or like get a higher power, you know, and seek your higher power. I knew mine was Jesus, you know, so yeah. And like you said, you know, the daily devotional thing, they, you know, they have AA literature that you can read, but instead of that, I just decided to read the Bible, nice. You know, every morning. And I had no idea what I was reading most of the time, but it was just like, you know, the grace of God just drew me to that place. And He gave me strength to do that. And it was like maybe a verse, you mm-hmm. know, in the morning. And I would just, you know, read that. And that grew, you know, every morning. I still have that routine with the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's my fuel, you know, that's my bread, you know. And so, yeah, that and then a mentor, you know, I would just call somebody and like let them know what was going on, because there's so much stuff that can go on in our head. Amen. Yeah. And we can make some really foolish decisions. And it is very, the Bible says to have a multitude of counselors, you know? Yeah. And so even though AA may not be a Christ-based program, it did help me. And it gave me some good disciplines to start my life with. And then eventually, I think after I was a year and a half sober, I started exercising.
Awesome. Amen. Okay. Well, I mean, so being encountered with God's love is one thing, you know, but there's times where I met His love and, because I wasn't, you know, disciplined, or I didn't discipline myself, or I wasn't in any kind of discipleship thing, you know, I would find myself messing up, coming back again, messing up, coming back again, back again. But finding that discipline is something that's so huge too, you know. Praise God, there's God's grace. But God's grace doesn't mean that, you know, we can do whatever. It's just, exactly. you know, it's the empowerment to discipline yourself in a sense, you know, empowerment to be a disciple of God. And disciple just simply means a disciplined student of God, you know. So you're a disciplined student, and so you went back to doing these, you know, awesome things, to even working out, which that also turned into something for you. That's a little side gig for you, which is super awesome. Like, guys, I don't have, you know, the video recordings. We don't do that anymore for a while, but man, Aaron is super swole out here, and you know, SoulFit will help you get swole too, you know. Definitely find her on Facebook or something, because you know, she'll help you out. But man, so that's awesome. So working out, is that something that has been a big beneficial for you too? Just you know, kind of grow out of that, you know, kind of addictive personality?
Or? Yeah, and I think transfer my fuel and my energy and like you said, just give myself positive things to pour into, you know, in my life. And I think that I told you before that I was, you know, on 7 medications when I first got sober and diagnosed with bipolar and social anxiety and depression and all of these things. And as I started exercising, y'all, like that stuff just fell off of me, you know, like, and I was able to taper myself off of, I don't recommend this, like talk to your doctor about this, but you know, I was just able to with the Lord, just taper off of these medications as He led me. And man, it helped me not only with my body health and wellness, but also with my soul. You know, it just helps you clean out some stuff when you wake up and you know, I was so used to the feeling, Josue, when I woke up in the morning, of having that gut feeling of like being disappointed in yourself and like, oh my gosh, that's what I did yesterday, or that's what I did last night, you know? And like, I think that I was so ingrained of having that feeling. I was like, man, I set my heart on like, I'm going to be the best that I can be every day. And if I can't, like, I never really compete against anybody else. I'm just like, man, am I doing better today than I was yesterday?
Yeah.
And that's always my goal, you know, and the Lord has been so faithful to show me, like, when we partner with the Holy Spirit in these things, He just shows us like, hey, you know, take a break today, you know, and hey, you know, do this today, you know, and just seeking Him. The Lord says, seek me and you shall find me with, you know, when you seek me with all your heart. And He honors His word, you know, and it's, He shows Himself strong on our behalf when we really dedicate our heart to Him in these places of our life. And He can turn it all into good, whatever the enemy used against us for evil. Amen.
Come on. That's good. you know, Praise God. So I remember Pastor Lawson.
I love Pastor Lawson.
I do too. He's awesome. He gets so fired up. It's funny. It reminds me of preaching back home. I remember.
Oh, really?
Being at school, I remember, you know, there's a lot of Baptists that would kind of look at him like, oh my gosh, this guy's screaming, or what is this guy doing? Yeah. And it's like, man, y'all haven't been to like a Pentecostal charismatic church, and it shows, like, y'all are missing out. But amen. I remember one time he told us in class that, you know, if you're doing everything, you're in your word, you know, you're spending time with your family and all this, and things are looking good, and you still feel that feeling of frustration, you know, go run a mile.
Yeah.
Go do something with, you know, exercise wise. Yeah. And, you know, just hearing him say that, and for myself, just getting back into working out, it's so true. Like, there's that good feeling of working out, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, you're at a desk job and you're just sitting all day. You know, it's like, dang. You know, I was struggling going up these stairs. Like, this needs to change.
And, that's me every
you know,
day.
I can't use the excuse it's Colorado, you know, even though, you know, these fit people are getting
high
out of
altitude.
Breath too. And the high altitude, it's like, all right, now something needs to change. And, but it's true though, when you add that kind of, you know, working out discipline in your life, it just, you feel better, you know, just for, you know, you're taking care of your temple, you're taking care of your body.
Amen.
And, you know, you're getting,
God gets glorified.
He does.
Yeah.
We'll talk on that, you know.
Yeah.
Tell me, what do you mean he gets glorified?
Man, when we walk in the fullness and the promises of God in our spirit and our soul and our body, you know, it's like our existence just praises the Lord, you know, constantly. Everything is praising God, even if it, you know, we don't know it, but like we're made to praise Him. And so it's like, man, when our soul is healthy, when our body is healthy, when our spirit, you know, obviously if you've given your life to Jesus and you're born again, you know, your spirit is His and it's perfect. But man, it's like when we get our soul and our body aligned with our spirit, and then we're just walking in the promises of God and exuding the spirit of God, every, you know, this living water is flowing out of us, rivers of living water. And it's like, that's everywhere you go. You're taking the kingdom of God with you, and it's just screaming. You know, when you walk into an atmosphere, you can change it, you know? And when you're walking, you know, in union, like when people aren't happy with who they are, and unfortunately, you know, if they aren't walking in good health, like they aren't at peace with their body, man, that's not everything that God has for us. Yeah. You know, He has perfect will for us.
Amen. No, it's so true. Amen. You know, we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah.
And yeah, part of that is taking care of that. And, you know, as we do everything unto the Lord, you know, we glorify Him. And so I think that's awesome. Do you ever do BFB? You know what BFB is?
No.
Bicep for Bay? Bicep for Bay Tuesdays? No? Okay. It's an inside joke with one of my other friends. And so, she's going to be ticked that I said BFB. Anyways, yeah, it's hilarious. Man, praise God. Sorry, guys. So, you know, coming back to it, it's just finding God's love, finding a discipline that you can follow. And then just finally, guys, you know what? Just being surrounded by people who love you, man. Just good people, you know. Aaron, you mentioned something that I'm passionate about is mentorship, you know.
Yeah.
I love being around old people, man, because they're just so smart and full they're just,
it.
You know,
yeah.
full of wisdom where yeah. You know, growing up, I was like, you know, what my uncle used to tell me. I used to have, you know, wisdom without the whiz, you know, just a lot of dumb, you know. And so, you know, surrounding myself with older people is just, it's just awesome. You know, shout out Joe. You know, I appreciate you, Joe Pilateri, just for being an awesome, awesome mentor in my life and just, you know, giving me just different tips and different stuff like that. But I appreciate those people. Those people, you know, they help you grow and help you see things that they have seen, you know, years before, you know, when they were our age. And so, that's another thing I encourage you guys with, man, is just find a mentor, find someone that's going to hold you kind of accountable to some stuff as well. You know, surround yourself with good people, because who you hang out with is who you're going to become, and who you surround yourself with is, you know, where you're going to be, you know, a couple of years down the road. That's, you know, that there's that saying, you know, that says, you show me your friends, your five closest friends, I'll show you, where you'll be in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And so, it's so true. So true. And so with that, we're kind of coming close to an end, Aaron. So a question that I ask all my guests, all right, is what is one thing that you failed at and how have you overcome? Now, let me give a little context on why I ask this question to everyone. For me, you know, what I've heard on different people's, you know, going to school, what I've heard, you know, going back home from different people, it's like – you know, they want to do something or they feel called to something, but they don't feel they're ready or qualified. Mm. And I think they allow, you know, and I know at least one of these things was my issue. I used to look up to these other, you know, super dupers, right? You know, these right. awesome Christian people. And I'm like, man, they got their life figured out together. I'm like, you know, I'm not even at their level. I'm struggling. What am I doing? Mm-hmm. And you have this mindset that they're almost perfect. And mm-hmm. that's, we know that's not the case.
Right.
You know, everyone makes mistakes. Everyone messes up. Not everyone really likes talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like asking our guests this because I want to have that encouragement, guys, that, you know, it doesn't matter if you failed. That doesn't mm-hmm. disqualify you from your call. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up
Amen.
Each every single time. And so for myself, every Friday, I'll share something that I failed at. But for yourself, Aaron, you know, just so we can be encouraged that, hey, host,
right.
you know, maybe it's just Josue who keeps slipping.
No.
But, you know, what is one thing that you failed at mm-hmm. and how have you overcome that?
Amen. I love this question and I agree so much. And it's encouraging to know that we're human. And I love that about our instructors at Caris. You know, they are always so quick to show us their mm-hmm. their shortcomings and failures. And I think for me, besides what the Lord shows me on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis about things in my heart, you know, that need to be changed and fixed, and I repent on a week-to-week basis to somebody, it seems mm-hmm. like, you know. But last year, I tried to force healing. I tried to force my own, you know, relationships. I tried to open doors. I tried to force financial things.
Yeah.
And it caused me to just fall harder in those areas.
Mm.
And literally like, just, you know, I was to a point actually last year where I couldn't even like walk without pain. You know, mm-hmm. and so like it was interesting because a lot of the strengths, you know, exercising is one of the things that I praise God for in my life. And I wasn't able to really do that a whole lot at that point last year. And so a lot of these things that I just the enemy tried to take me out and just take my life from me again, you know, and so but that was an area of my life, 3 areas in my life at least, where I just had to humble myself before the Lord and before some people, you know, that I had harmed along the way in relationships and just repent and you know, say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And know that I'm forgiven, but moving forward, just be very careful with my heart attitude towards things and towards other people because, you know, the heart is deceitful above all else, you know, and it's like it can deceive us, you know, and it's just something I need to be very careful about in my life because it's just, you know, humble yourself before the Lord and he shall exalt you in due time, you know, and I think that goes in every area, spirit, soul, and body, health, finances, and relationships, you know.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for being vulnerable and just sharing that, you know, I think we've all have been there where we try to force things, you know, I think, some of my personality types at times where I can be like, I'm going to do this, you know, gosh dang it. and, you know, praise God, we just got to rely on our own strength, you know, just like making fruit pizza and burning it, you know, trying to do that on my own strength and it burnt. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
But,
the Aaron, first one was good though.
Yeah, the first one was good. The first one was good. Aaron, thank you so much just for allowing me to, you know, do this with you again.
Yeah.
Guys, you guys are awesome. Really just take hone in what, you know, what was just really shared again. You got to know God's love. God loves you. He cares about you. You're special. You're awesome.
Amen.
And you're loved by him. You know, praise God. He's not pushing you away. He's not ashamed of you. And he's not, you know, upset, you know, and he loves you. And more importantly, he even likes you. You know, praise God. Secondly, you know, find a discipline. It doesn't have to be anything big. It doesn't have to be, you know, and you know what, maybe let me retract that. Sometimes it does, you know, sometimes it requires a change of environment. You know, for me, it caused me to move to Colorado and just, you know, get away from just my home and just, you know, be around people that I didn't know. And so, you know, maybe it does, you know, you pray and you seek the Lord, what is my next step? What is my discipline to do that just gonna, it's gonna cause some change. change. You know, change is uncomfortable, but it's good. It's what causes growth. And then finally, just find a mentor. Find someone that you can, you know, just really, you know, glean from their experience, glean from their mistakes, glean from them. And praise God, you're going to be blessed. And you know what? You're going to be super soul fit like Aaron, okay? well, you guys are awesome. Again, meditate on this. Allow this to be your own revelation, because remember, you cannot grow past your revelation. So meditate this and allow this just to sink into your heart. You guys are awesome.